We're in our third week now of talking about, does God send the bad stuff? All right, so a wee quick recap. The first week we said God is the highest power. He is superior to all other powers, but it's not true that only God's will happens. All right, so if you didn't hear that, it's online, you can listen to it. Last week we said that God's will doesn't automatically come to pass, and that we can limit God by our words and our actions. Again, that's on our website, so if you want to listen to it. Today, we're going to look at when bad stuff does happen and does come our way, what do we do about it? What's our first reaction? What do we do about the bad stuff? So I'm starting with the story of Daniel. Just give you a little bit of history to the story of Daniel. The Babylonians had destroyed Jerusalem, and they invaded and they captured the Jews and took them back to Babylon. And Daniel was one of the people that was taken captive to Babylon. The king's name was Darius. Quite a trendy name, I think, these days, eh? So Darius was king of Babylon. And this story takes place around 540 BC. And I have scriptures for that for anyone who wants to work that out. We're just going to read one verse from Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. And this is what it says. Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Okay, so King Darius set up three presidents over the land, and Daniel was one of these top three men. And then there was a lower level of governors called satraps, and they were in charge of each of their own provinces, all right? So that was a sort of governmental structure. But Daniel excelled even above the other presidents, and the king decided to promote him over everyone else. Everything in the garden for Daniel looked rosy. Promotion was on its way, and wealth, I'm assuming, would come along with that as well. But the rug was about to be pulled out from under his feet. You know, bad stuff can happen when we least expect it. You know, maybe that's happened to you. One minute we're cruising along, everything's hunky-dory, and all of a sudden there's a bad report, there's an email, there's a telephone call, there's bad news, there's a blood result. And these things just come completely out of the blue. So let's look at Daniel in the next verse, it's Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find occasion to bring accusation against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion or fault, for he was faithful. There was no error or fault in him. That's a fantastic statement to be able to say about someone's life, that they could find no fault in him. And so all of these other people that were in charge of different areas and provinces and the other presidents, they planned some bad things for Daniel. Bad stuff was coming his way. But Daniel remained faithful. When it was all going wrong, Daniel continued to do what was right. And I think there's a lesson in that for us. Sometimes it's really hard to think, I can't keep going with this job. I can't keep going with this situation. But we just have to get up in the morning, get the clothes on, and get on with it. You know, suck it up and walk on through. Don't come down to their level. Don't do to them what they would do to you or what they've done to you. Take the higher grounds. I remember one time, this years and years and years ago, and this my friend was my colleague that I worked with, and something happened. I got a bad report from someone, and I was quite upset about it. This person had really hurt me. And I was talking to my colleague, my friend at work, and she said, Sandra, don't come down to their level. Just be your beautiful self that you always are. I was a bit younger then, you know. Just be your beautiful self that you always are, and just react properly. And I've never forgotten that. Don't come down to their level. Don't react the way they would react. Be who you are in the middle of it. Don't be vindictive. Now, Daniel was determined to be part of the solution here and not part of the problem. So long story, very short, the other leaders tricked the king into signing a decree that said no one was allowed to bow down to any god except the king, or they would be thrown into the lion's den. And clearly it was a trap, because every single one of them knew that Daniel was a man of faith, and every single one of them knew that every day he prayed to God. But he refused to let this floor him. Daniel refused to react. And he just got up the next morning and continued to pray to God, continued to do what God had told him to do. You know, you complete a journey one step at a time. You complete a season in life by putting one foot in front of the other and keep walking till you come through that season. Keep walking till you get out the other end of that tunnel. And there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and this time it's not another train coming towards you. You know, it's actually daylight. And keep going till we get there. When the enemy tries to trap us, we must refuse to let it floor us. We must get up and keep going. Don't lie down to the attack. Get up and get hold of God and what God is saying to us. So here's a thought for the day. If life puts you on your knees, start praying while you're down there. Don't get down there and throw the ashes over your head going, oh, whoa, whoa, and thrice whoa. You know, get down there and open the Bible and say, what is God saying about this mess? And get a hold of God, get a hold of the altar of God, and don't let go. Just keep going. Tell God the problem and ask him to show us the solution. Because if God didn't send it, and he didn't, then he has a solution for us to conquer it and get victory. Let's move on to verse 16. We're still in Daniel 6. Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. And the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on top of the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, that there might be no change of purpose concerning Daniel. This was a fairly grim situation. So there's the lion's den waiting for him. He gets thrown in, and a stone gets put on top, sealed with the king's own wax seal and his ring, so no one could move it and get Daniel out, or they would know because the seal would be broken. So Daniel's trapped in this situation. I don't know if there's been times in our lives where we've felt trapped in a situation and there seems to be no way out and we just don't know what to do. Get up in the morning and keep going. Get up in the morning and get God on the situation. Read our Bible. Pray to him. You know, it doesn't get much worse than Daniel's situation. So how's our week been? How's this year been so far? Have we been thrown into a den situation where we just think, I feel trapped and there's no way out? Verse 17 said, there's no change of purpose for Daniel. That means no escape whatsoever from what he was going through. So if Daniel can't escape, it means he's got no other choice but to keep going. He's got to keep walking through this. Sometimes we have to walk through the bad stuff. There might not be an escape from your job situation at the moment. You might have to keep going because you need the money to pay the bills. I remember being in a job situation for about 7 years. First 2 years weren't too bad, and after that it got worse and worse and worse and worse. It was just a horrendous situation. You know, I just dreaded going to work every day. I would be crying at work. It was so bad. And there was other people get treated as badly as me in the years to come. There was one young teacher, and she was found hyperventilating in the ladies' toilets at work. That's how bad the situation was. I didn't get to that stage because I had God. She was in that stage because she didn't have God. But we just had to keep walking through the situation until something changed. And it did change eventually. But I just had no escape. I thought, I'm not giving up my career for this person that's treating me badly. I'm the one that's going to win here, and they're the one that's going to have to be moved. And that's eventually what happened. So I want us to know that as Daniel walked through this situation, God walked through with him. He was not alone. We are not alone in the den. We are not alone in the trap. We're not alone when the enemy attacks. Daniel received the worst report ever. He was going to be torn apart and eaten alive by lions. You know, it's not on my hit list, not on my bucket list of things to do before I die. But the good news is God can change bad reports. God can change bad reports. The first report isn't the last report. So I don't know if something's tearing you apart. You might not be in a physical lion's den, but you might be feeling torn apart emotionally. You might be feeling torn apart spiritually. It might even be a physical report, and things aren't going the way we planned. But the first report is not the last report. My God can change them. Even if everything inside us is screaming, where is God? Or why me? Why have you allowed this to happen, God? We need to stop and remember God didn't allow it. He didn't send it and he didn't allow it. Circumstances allowed it, or people sent it because they've got a free will, or sickness attacks because God didn't send the sickness either. The enemy and the fall in the garden caused the sickness to enter God's creation. There's germs, and we live in a decaying world because of the germs and the infection in this world. It is not the world that God originally created, because he created perfection, and that doesn't exist anymore in this world. And yet we continue to say, where are you, God? And what are you going to do about this? This is what I read in my daily reading. The question is never, what will God do when all around me spells destruction? The question is, what will I do? How am I going to react? What am I going to do about it? How am I going to face Monday morning at work? While we are shouting, what are you going to do about it, God? He's pleading, Sandra, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to believe of me? What are you going to believe I can do in this situation? Don't sit down and do nothing. Don't sit down and have a pity party. Don't give up. He's begging us not to give up. Don't accept their lies or the negative report. Rise up and fight back. What are we doing about our situation? Not what God's doing. You know, most of you will have heard of Roland and Heidi Baker. They have an amazing ministry in Mozambique. And part of their ministry is really with street children that have no home. They're orphaned. They're begging on the streets. And Heidi Baker just goes and scoops them up, almost literally. And they provide food for these children. They've now got so many children's homes and schools and orphanages and all sorts of things that they provide for these children in Mozambique. And a few years ago, Heidi decided she would start to pray for deaf people. Because there was deaf people in all the villages that she went to visit. And of course, there's no NHS. You can't get hearing aids. You can't get help of any kind. It's one of the poorest countries in the world. And so she started off and she prayed for her first deaf person, and she did not see them healed. And then she prayed for her second deaf person, and they were not healed. And then it was her fifth deaf person, and they were not healed. And then it was her 10th dead person, and they were not healed. Who's ready to give up at this point? Then it was our 20th dead person, deaf person. They've seen the dead raised as well, but this is the deaf people. And then it was our 30th deaf person. And then it was our 40th deaf person. She's now prayed for 42 deaf people, and no one's been healed. We pray every Sunday in this church for almost 8 years for healing. And every prayer is not a religious prayer from my heart. Every prayer is with every fiber of my being. I want to see you jumping out your seat going, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I am not going to stop while we are the pastors of this church continuing to pray and believe for healing in Jesus' name. It will be every Sunday. Communion will be every Sunday. To believe for the healing power of Almighty God, and we will not give up on it. And so Heidi Baker then lays hands on the 43rd deaf person. And there's a breakthrough. And this person gets healed. And so they're encouraged and their faith levels rise. And the whole team continue to pray for deaf people. They go into each village and go bring out the deaf so we can pray for them. And now they have a 100% success rate. Every deaf person gets healed. Every single one of them. And with blind people, they're up to 80%. And if the blind person doesn't get healed, you know what they do? They build them a house to live in. Now, I know it's only mud bricks out there, but they build them something to live in so they're not begging on the streets. It's an amazing ministry. But she had to fight for it. She didn't say, what are you doing about it, God? What are you going to do about this deaf person, God? Because she knew what God had done. If you don't go home with anything else today, go home with this. We need to know what God has done. She knew what God had already done. He'd hung on a cross and he paid the price for their healing. And the only thing stopping the healing was the lack of faith in us, maybe a lack of faith in the person, and the attack of the enemy who says, it's not working, go home. Give up. You're useless. The power of God is not useless. And if we do not give up and we push in whatever our circumstances are, whether it's deaf, blind, or someone at work, or our finances, or any area of our lives, we will see what God has done as well. Because he has already died and sent his son to die for us to provide for every single need that we have. And so Heidi Baker claimed it. She believed it and she spoke it until she saw it. She decided that what she was going to do about it, and she got the breakthrough. Folks, it's decision time. It's decision time in every area of our lives, whether we're just trying to shift migraine headaches, a bunion on our foot. It's decision time. Is God's power enough to do this? Did Jesus die for it or not? God's saying, what are you going to do about it, Sandra? Are you going to keep praying for this people for the 9th year and the 10th year and the 15th year until we see the breakthrough? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Can God do it? Yes, he can. He's better than Bob the Builder. Okay? We need to decide that if there is something we can do, then we will do it. We must speak the word until we see the word come true in our lives. So if we're in a lion's den right now and we feel trapped by the circumstances, speak God's word over it, because that is the key to unlocking our lion's den and rolling the stone away. Words are powerful. They create either for us or against us. And they create either for or against God. Because we said this last week, that we can limit God by our words and our actions. We're the ones that limit the situation. If we want to change the bad stuff, it starts by changing our words. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. First of all, it says that we can do it. We can do the all things. So we need to stop saying, we can't. I can't do that. I'm not spiritually enough. I'm not good enough. That's defeat talking. And second, it says that it's not in our strength, but it's in Christ's strength. And if we've asked him into our heart, then he lives in us. And we have his strength in us to do whatever it is we're facing, to bring down any wall, to break open any prison doors, to change any doctor's report. We'll annihilate the lions if we know we have God's strength in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and in me. And God wants to strengthen us, but first we have to do our part. We have to believe God and we have to fight, not lie on the couch believing lies, listening to the voice of depression in our head. We're going to go to back in Daniel, and we're still in chapter 6, and we're starting at verse 19. This is the end of the story. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the lion's den and cried out in a voice of anguish, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you from the lions? Now you can almost hear the pregnant pause. You can almost hear the king's heart beating in his chest. This was his friend. This was his president. This was a man he trusted. And he'd put him in the lion's den for the night, you know? Not the cheeriest of accommodation. No one wants to go to that Airbnb. And so the king's there and there's this silence. Well, the king's going, Daniel, are you still there? No one expected to hear a voice from that den. No one expected to hear a word. And then all of a sudden it says, verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me. Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel should be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no hurt of any kind was found on him, because he believed in, relied on, and trusted in his God. How gobsmackingly amazing is that? You know, there wasn't even a sniff of a lion poo on him. You know, he was just came out of all that situation and there was not a mark on him. Verse 20 said, is your God able to deliver you? Folks, we need to make a decision. We need to ask ourselves the same question. Do we believe that our God is able to deliver us from our trapped situation? And are we confessing it with our mouths or just repeating, there's lions, tigers and bears all around me, what am I going to do? Are we repeating the negatives and focusing on the lions and the situation instead of focusing on God? And it goes on in verse 22, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. I want us to note this, if he did it for Daniel, he can do it for us too. Because I don't think there's any of us facing an actual lion at work. They might not be very pleasant people that we've got to work with, you know. But if he shut the mouths of the lions that were going to devour Daniel, he can do it for us. I know in my own life there's been situations where I have felt as if I was in the middle of a lion's den. And I can remember praying that very prayer to God. God, I feel like I'm in the lion's den. And I was just being attacked left, right, and center. It was negative report after negative report. And it was just all coming at me. And in the middle of all of that bad report, I felt as if I was going to be eaten alive. The enemy wanted to chew me up one side and spit me out. You know, and that's the attack you get because I was leading a healing ministry in the city of Edinburgh. So if you're leading a healing ministry anywhere, you're going to be challenged on that. Oh, really, Sandra? You really believe God heals? Well, boom, take this sickness and see how you feel about that. You know? And so we had to stand on the word of God to see reports changed. We were even given wrong reports. Twice we were given wrong reports by the doctor. Twice I was told there was cancer throughout my entire body because it was in my lymphatic system. I was told that. And 24 hours later, I got the phone call saying, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. You know, where do you go with that? We got this phone call, and we've just had your results from the fluid that we drained off, and there's cancer throughout the whole fluid, so that means there's cancer throughout your entire body. So this is about 6 o'clock at night, and Neil and I were just reeling from that. And by 7 o'clock, we needed to leave to go and lead the prayer meeting for the healing ministry. Neil said, what will we do? I said, we'll get in the car, and we'll go to the prayer meeting. And we'll lead the prayer meeting for the healing ministry. The very next day, got a phone call from a very, very apologetic oncology nurse. Sorry, Sandra, we made a mistake. There was no cancer in your lymphatic fluid. You're just there and you're getting eaten alive. You're getting chewed up by the enemy. And you have to just keep going. You have to keep walking through and trusting in God that he can remove that stone. Did God put me there with the sickness? No. Did he have a plan to rescue me? Yes. Was God with me in the bad time? Every step of the way. As I walked through it, God walked through it with me. Here's another quote from my daily reading. It says this. God didn't rescue Daniel from the pit immediately, but he delivered him from the power of the enemy while he was in the pit. The lions were still there when Daniel left, waiting for their next victim, but they had no power over him. No power whatsoever. So here's my revelation. The lions were still there, but so was God. So was God. And he never left Daniel. So Daniel made the decision not to focus on the lions. He chose to focus on his God. Did God put Daniel in the lions then? No. The enemy used a bunch of men to do that. God didn't send Daniel to the lions, and he doesn't send us to the lions either. That's how the enemy works. He works through people, and he works through circumstances. Our response to bad things shouldn't be, what are you going to do about it, God? But what am I going to do in the middle of this horrendous situation? What am I going to do about it? Am I going to believe the lies? Am I going to stand on the word of God? Am I going to believe his promises? Am I going to believe God doesn't send the bad stuff? Thank you. And ask the worship team to come up.